we go to our last agenda item, which is the EO report. Don, did you have?
I need to leave.
You do?
Yeah, I have another commitment, and I'm not sure I'm going to be able to stay. How long is this going to take? Is it one last item?
Yeah, 28 was on the consent. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 28's gone. You can't leave, Don.
I don't want to be arrested.
We're getting to the best part of the meeting.
I haven't had a moving violation in about 20 years. I don't want to.
Well,
I'll stick.
You can go whenever you need to go.
Are we on to 32?
We are.
Okay. In addition to, or I should say, looking at the written report for item number 32, Michael was talking about the 401 certification program, and one of the issues that the board brought up with the last agenda item was that we kind of lost our project description. So in the center of the of our table here, which is actually one of the shortest tables we've had in a long time, but we did try to provide a little bit more of a descriptor for the project. It's still pretty brief, but definitely more than we had last time. So I hope that helps a little bit. I don't have anything to add on the written materials that you have detailed in here, unless there are questions on them. I do have a couple other items I did want to mention, though. So are there questions on written materials?
Bruce, any questions?
I did want to talk about this UCSC thing that we got delivered to us.
That was one of my extra items. we sent you a supplemental sheet with Don Stevens' issues on the UCSC construction runoff issues that we discussed at the Salinas meeting. And Kimberly Gonzalez has prepared a summary of her inspection and what we plan to do since we're going to be up in Watsonville in May, a little closer to UCSC, is provide a separate item. It turns out there's a heck of a lot going on campus, as Dr. Press was alerting us to on a couple of occasions. It's a big campus. There's a lot of construction and other activities, not just campus buildings, but residential construction as well.
And huge plans for future growth.
Right. And Kimberly Gonzalez, who's in the back of the room there, has a draft write-up that we'll provide for you in the next agenda. And also, I think, timing-wise, it's going to give us an opportunity to follow up on some of the other loose ends. Dr. Stevens just sent this additional material the other day that you have in your supplemental sheets. And I talked to him a couple times on the phone this last week. And Kimberly, I think you were planning on following up on some of the other leads that we had from your site visit, as well as the information that we received in the mail and over the phone. So by having that status report in May, we would be able to have a more complete report for you. There are a lot of interesting things, some tough issues with the geology there. It's one of the few areas in the country that has karst formations with caverns and sinkholes and that sort of thing. I think the only other time that karst formations have come up with us has been with timber harvest, which was up in that same neck of the woods. So probably similar geologic formation, and it presents some special challenges in terms of surface waters getting directly into groundwater. So that's our plan as far as the UC Santa Cruz complaints and our follow-up. Did you have other specific questions at this point?
No, that was the request I had, so you, again, read my mind.
Yeah. Okay.
Excuse me, Roger.
And
we do have a representative from UCSC here, and
yeah,
I think he put
in a card.
I don't know if you wanted to ask him some questions.
Maybe you'd like to introduce yourself?
I just came down to listen. I wasn't coming down unless somebody has some questions.
I can give you a card.
And you are?
Dan Blunk. And who wants the card? I'm the Environmental Programs Manager for UCSC.
And I don't recall, were you along with Kimberly Gonzalez on part of this inspection?
Correct.
Or all the inspection? Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Thought I'd seen your name before. Well, you heard what I had to say. We're planning on and I think you knew this already.
Right.
That we were planning on having a separate status report in Watsonville. Part of the reason for that was not only the timing, but since we'll be up north, it'll be an opportunity for more of the folks who are concerned with what's happening on the UC Santa Cruz campus to attend. So I don't know if anybody has any questions or you have anything to add.
Well, I'd just like to make a pitch if I could. You've heard, I think, the discussion we've had about low-impact development and some of the big changes that are happening in Salinas, and I'd like to put in a pitch to see that the growth that's being planned for your particular institution could be another model for that low-impact development that we're trying to put in. So I'd like to...
I was thinking the same thing when you were talking about that. I was writing down notes.
Because in some ways it's a lot cleaner than rather than having all these zillions of developers doing all this stuff, because the university is both the approver and the so if you will, the advocate of that development. And so it would be very... a cogent way to have a model solution for some of this.
Exactly. And, yeah, and our developments range from residential to...
Yes. Big to facilities, yeah.
Yeah, to big facilities.
You know, UCSB, did some low-impact hot development with some new projects they had. Are you familiar with the Manzanita project?
Yes. Yeah, that's a beautiful system.
It's great. I mean, it's a shame that that just doesn't become the model, at least, you know, for the UC system, you know, to use when they do building.
In fact, the board had a tour of that facility, the bioswales and all that, and so we know about it.
Yeah. All of my counterparts at the UC campuses got a tour of the Manzanita project.
Good.
We talked about it at length.
Okay. What were their reactions?
They all loved it.
And is there a, you know, within your hierarchy in the university, is there, do you foresee roadblocks in trying to go down that path of utilizing those kinds of building methods?
Only what we're working now currently with the state is, you know, we get our funding for capital projects from the state, and just pushing overall sustainable growth and sustainable buildings and sustainable projects, the state recognizes that they need to change their financial yardstick that we have to measure our projects by to include life cycle costs. Currently, their financial yardstick that you have to meet to get your funding for your project doesn't include life cycle costs. So they recognize that as a problem, and we're working with them to try to change that.
And what is a life cycle cost?
It's factoring in not just the, you know, you put in a building and the cost of construction and the cost of finishing it, but then you factor in the cost of maintaining it, the cost of erosion problems that may be caused by poor stormwater design, and over the life of the building, what the overall cost is. And for a lot of low-cost buildings, I think it's like, I've kind of forgotten the number. It's something like five times the building cost gets used up in maintenance costs over the life of the building, something. And so if you look at the whole package, then suddenly a different kind of building becomes economically a better deal. You just have to, you know, change your yardstick for doing your financial cost measurement.
Interesting.
Well, it sounds like one of the issues with the UC campus is runoff from facilities within the campus and permeable surfaces. And if you expand that concept of life cycle cost to include not only the footprint of the building and the immediate landscape areas, but then the total impact of all those buildings or all those facilities on the downstream facilities that are necessary to carry the runoff or to deal with problems associated with the runoff. If you could include those in life cycle costs, then that's when I'm told low impact development becomes more cost effective. If you look at that total picture, so maybe that's a way to go, is to work towards including all the runoff and all the downstream ramifications in that life cycle cost.
Yeah, in the interim, we currently have a major capital project before the state, and it's supposedly one of the top, I think it's two or three projects in the UC system to address the unique drainage issues on the UCSC campus, and exactly what you were talking about, you know, the potential downstream impacts from, you know, multiple buildings going in. And it's, you know, we finally got the state's attention that, you know, that our campus isn't like a lot of campuses, and that it's on flat terrain, and that you have a conventional stormwater system. And they recognize now that, you know, that requires, you know, some major resources allocated to properly handling that and planning for future growth. So
good.
we're confident they, you know, it's got the green light, and it's, you know, it's chugging through the mill of funding cycles to put that forward.
Good.
Wonderful. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, and then the last item I wanted to mention was that it was kind of a significant week in terms of the Los Osos saga. And what was that? Our council, Lori Oaken, came down to our neck of the woods a day and a half early because of a couple of lawsuits that were in Superior Court, and she has a report on the outcome.
Well, there were three lawsuits pending. The first one was a suit against the county and the Coastal Commission regarding the coastal development permit that the Coastal Commission issued in August. And the county should never have been in that suit, well, nor should the Coastal Commission, but it involved a variety of challenges to the coastal development permit because of alleged noncompliance with the Coastal Act. And on Friday, the plaintiffs dismissed that lawsuit. They can't refile it because the statute of limitations has run, so there's no more available challenge to the coastal development permit. However, the same plaintiff, and I believe one other group, currently has a revocation request pending before the Coastal Commission that will be heard on Thursday, April 14th. I don't think that revocation request will be granted. There's some regulations in the Coastal Act regulations on the bases for a revocation request, and it's basically that the applicant withheld information from the Coastal Commission. It's based on some Coastal Commission precedent. It's basically a fraud standard, and the bases for this revocation are all in the Coastal Commission record, so we're working with the CSD on that. But so that the dismissed lawsuit may resurrect itself in the form of a challenge to the denial of the revocation request if it's denied, which I expect. But the legal standard for that lawsuit is even higher than the dismissed lawsuit. So it would be extremely difficult for any challenge to that decision, if it's made, to succeed. The second lawsuit is a Proposition 218 challenge that's only against the district, challenging the district's financing plan, I believe for repayment of the loan. That the district has filed a demur to that, basically a motion to dismiss, and the court's going to hear that next month. The plan that's being challenged is a draft plan that was submitted to the state board as one of the loan funding requirements. And I believe the district's position is that challenge is premature. The third lawsuit was against the Coastal Commission, the district, and the state board. There are three causes of action. The first two alleged that in addition to the coastal development permit, the Coastal Commission had to issue basically the same permit under two other sections of the Coastal Act. The Coastal Commission didn't interpret its act that way. One of those causes of action was stated against the State Board, saying it was illegal for the State Board to approve the loan until this Section 30412 permit was issued. But that section basically is the section of the Coastal Act that limits the Coastal Commission's jurisdiction in issuing permits to public works facility, because this agency is the agency with primary jurisdiction over those issues. The court dismissed those two causes of action without leave to amend, so the State Board is completely out of that lawsuit, and the Coastal Commission. There's a third cause of action that's still pending against the district, alleging that some current discharges to Morro Bay violate the local coastal program. Those are discharges of groundwater pumping that they're pumping to avoid flooding, and discharges of recharge water for their production wells, I believe. The district has filed an NOI requesting coverage under the low threat discharge permit, and staff is processing that. It should be on one of our agendas. That lawsuit doesn't allege that they need an NPDES permit for that, but they do. I don't know if it's also a violation of the local coastal program and whether they're going to need additional permitting from the county and then the appeal from the Coastal Commission. But the district's answer to that cause of action is due 30 days from Wednesday.
Any questions on that aspect of Los Osos? The other part of it is that you've seen newspaper articles about the bids coming in quite a bit over the engineer's estimate, which of course is the last thing that Los Osos needed. And the we met with the district, the manager, one of the board members, and their consultants, and what they're doing is reevaluating the bids, the bid process, talking to the bidders, trying to figure out why they didn't have more competitive bids, why they didn't have more bidders, period. And then it looks like they'll go back out to bid. They're in a grace period. Is that 120 days? 120-day grace period in terms of the validity of those bids. So they are using that time, hopefully not all of it, but they can use some of that time to try to figure out their best course of action to try to get some bids that'll be more reasonable, more affordable. So we felt that was the best course of action for the district at this time.
Okay. Anything else as part of the EO report?
That was it.
Okay. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
So
okay. All in favor? And we will reconvene then in Watsonville on May 12th.